And this moment in history is something that happens in everyone's life. Everyone faces this same moment. It's a decision that is the same decision that everyone must make sometime in their life. Was Herod going to step down from his starring role and humble himself and recognize the one who came into the world as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ child? Or was he going to selfishly remain on the throne and clench his crown? And the same question is to you and I. Are we going to stay on our throne and clench a crown and stay there and not let the new king come and be King of Kings, King of our lives, and Lord of Lords?
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast with Pastor Mark Abney. Brother Mark continued his series titled, The Problem with Christmas, and he preached from the book of Matthew chapter 1. And now, Brother Mark.
Well, this morning, I'm going to try something, so if y'all don't like it, you just keep it to yourself, okay? Okay, well, I'm gonna move down here, and we've been talking about the trouble with Christmas, the problems with Christmas, and the first week we talked about the presents. That's not presents, but that's presents, and sounds like you're picking me up now. So the gifts in Christmas, and sometimes the gifts, when they come, they're not wrapped like we want, and we want to re-gift them. We want to give them away, but they're the gifts that God gives us, and they become our coat of many colors, and they become who we are and what God wants for our lives. And so the gifts that we get are the gifts that God gives us, and the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no shadow of turning. And so we talked about the presents. The second thing we talked about was E, and it stood for everybody. And everybody, the problem with Christmas is that everybody is invited. And you think, well, that's not a problem. That's a good thing about Christmas. And it is. It's a very good thing about Christmas. The problem is that Christianity has become exclusive instead of inclusive. We talked about that, and there are groups of people that we want to exclude. There are individuals that we want to exclude in our lives, and there are people that we have problems with that we are just not right with. And the Bible says something about gifts when we're talking about that. It says that it's better that you leave your gift at the altar and go get right with your brother before you ever bring an offering to the Lord. Because it's more important that you're right with each other than it is that you're bringing an offering and worshiping God. And so he talks about that, and he talks about being right with each other. And that's important. So that's a problem with Christmas, is that we tend to want to exclude people. This morning we're going to talk about the third problem with Christmas, and that problem is A, for allow room for the king. Allow room for the king. So if you would, stand with me while we read out of Matthew, beginning in chapter 1, verse 18. We've read this. This is the third time. You are going to know this scripture by heart whenever we get done with this series. So it says this. It says in verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus was as follows. After his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Spirit. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not wanting to make a public example, was minded to put her away secretly. But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Verse 22. "So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, 'Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which is translated 'God with us.' Then Joseph, being aroused from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and they called his name Jesus," beginning in chapter 2, verse 1. "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in those days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we have come to worship him.' When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all of Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, and he inquired of them where Christ was to be born. So they said to him, 'In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least of the rulers of Judah, for out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared, he sent them to Bethlehem and said, 'Go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and kill him also.'" I mean, worship him also. And we'll talk about that later. And when the king, they departed, and behold, and the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child and Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Then, being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed to their own country another way." Let us pray. Father God, I thank you for your word. I pray this morning, Lord, that you would speak through your word to us. Hide me behind the cross. Give me the words to speak that you might make us alive by your word. We thank you for the message that you presented here in Matthew's gospel to us. Lord, we pray that as we worship you through your word, that you would do a work in us. And Lord, that we might be brought to the place where we worship you in spirit and truth, where we bow before you, and we worship you as the King of kings and Lord of lords. Lord, please, as we take your word in, let us allow room for the King this Christmas. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So the problems with Christmas, we're going to talk, we've talked about them, and we talked about, this is the third one that we've talked about. So we have to allow room for the King. So Christmas has some tension to it. Christmas is all about a king coming into the world, but he came into the world where a throne was already occupied. There was already someone sitting on the throne. It's a lot like that Game of Thrones that's on TV. I've never watched that, but it's a lot like what's going on at this time that Jesus comes into the kingdom. In Matthew 2, 1 through 2, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the time of King Herod. Wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, "Where is the one who is born King of the Jews?" The king with a small k had a name for himself, and guess what his name was? King of the Jews. It was Herod, and Herod called himself King of the Jews. So there was this tension going on because here Christ come into the world, and he's the king with the capital K of the Jews. And the king with the small k is having a little issue with this. The wise men come in search of the king with the capital K, and Herod finds out about them coming into his country looking for this king. And notice the word in verse 2, the word saying. That word is a present participle, which means continuous action. So what this means was these wise men that come from the east, a lot of people think there was three wise men, but there were three gifts, so there could have been 300 wise men, 300 magi. These people were high-ranking government diplomats from Babylon. And how did they know about Christ the King? Well, if you remember, Daniel was in Babylon, and he had written some stuff, and so they had the word there, and so they knew what was going on, and so these magi come with their entourage of people from this government, from this other country, and they come in search of this newborn king. And so they continually went around asking in the city, "Where is he? Where is the new king of the Jews? Where is he at? Where, has anyone seen him? Where can I find him? Where is he?" And can you picture this group of government diplomats with all their soldiers and armed guards and people going around in the city asking all these people, "Where is he? Where is he at? Where?" And can you imagine the word getting back to Herod and he's saying, where do these people come from, and who are they, and what do they want? Why are they asking these questions? So Herod got a little bit disturbed about this, and so we see in the word that he summoned all the wise officials from his cabin. He called them all in, all the chief priests and scholars and elders and everybody that knew anything about anything. He called them all into the palace, and he asked them, he says, "Where is this king that was born?" And the castle idiots told him, "In Bethlehem." It says in the word, if you knew what the word said, you would know that he was going to be born in Bethlehem. And so the little king Herod privately summoned the wise men from Babylon to come to the castle, and he introduced himself and he says, "Hi, I'm King Herod, king of the Jews." Uh-oh, awkward moment. We're looking for a different king. We're looking for a newborn baby that's king. We're looking for you, Mr. King Herod. We're looking for this King of Kings, Lord of Lords. We're looking for the Christ child, the one and only King of the Jews. Well, King Herod would have to be careful at this point because he's a puppet king. He could have caused an international incident at this point with this entourage of international diplomats that had come into his country. And it was a good thing that he took note of this, because if he would have caused an international incident, the emperor of Rome might have got very upset with him and probably had him beheaded. So he lies to the wise men that he too is looking for this new baby, this new king with the capital K, because he wants to worship him also. Well, Herod did not want to worship Jesus. He wanted to kill him. And later in the scripture, we see that he puts out a decree to kill all the babies that are 2 years young and younger. And so he says, uh-oh, the king we were looking for is much smaller. He is the king of kings, and we must worship him. We must find him and give him these great gifts that we have brought to him. Well, there's this stressful moment. There's this tension going on between Herod, who calls himself king of the Jews, and Jesus, who was born king of the Jews and king of all kings. Amen? Well, don't feel bad for Herod. He was the worst person you could ever think of. He was the worst king, but he was a terrible person on top of that. He had his wife, his mother-in-law, and his brother-in-law, and 3 sons all murdered because he felt like they were scheming and plotting to take the throne away from him. In fact, he had all the leading people in Jerusalem put in jail when he got older because he made a decree that whenever he dies, he wanted them all killed so that there would be weeping and grief in the city. Well, that's terrible. I mean, if you're the king and you're a good king, you wouldn't have to do that, would you? I mean, people would automatically grieve and weep over your loss. But here he has all these good people put in prison and in order for them to be killed so that there would be weeping and grief whenever he died. So he was a terrible person. Well, this moment in time, in history, King Herod is on the throne and calls himself king. And Jesus comes, who is the king. And this moment in history is something that happens in everyone's life. Everyone faces this same moment. It's a decision that is the same decision that everyone must make sometime in their life. Was Herod going to step down from his starring role and humble himself and recognize the one who came into the world as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Emmanuel, God with us, the Christ child? Or was he going to selfishly remain on the throne and clench his crown? And the same question is to you and I. Are we going to stay on our throne and clench a crown and stay there and not let the new king come and be King of Kings, King of our lives, and Lord of Lords in our life? He had to recognize the Christ as the king, the Messiah, Emmanuel, the Savior of the world. The Bible says in Romans 14:11 and in Philippians 2:10 that one day every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is, when will you confess? Are you going to confess on this side of death's door or on the other side of death's door? Because guess what? You're going to confess no matter what. One way you confess will result in eternal life and blessings on this side of heaven and a life that will last forever that will be with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And that's if you confess him king on this side of death's door. But if you wait, if you do nothing, and you wait until you die, and at that point you are forced to bow your knee before holy God and confess Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, that decision will result in eternal separation from God in a place called hell, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth and where the fire never goes out. And we see in the Bible glimpses of what that is like. And it's a terrible place. It's a place where a man named Lazarus went. And when he died, he lifted up his eyes in that place of torments, and he said, send someone down here with some water on their finger to touch my tongue because I am so thirsty. But the thirst is never quenched. It's a place where the worm never dies. It's a place where there's eternal suffering. It's a place where you're consumed, where you're never consumed, but you're always eaten upon. Where the fire never goes out, where there's constant torment. And that's a place, that's a real place, and that's a place that the Bible talks about more than it talks about heaven, because God has done everything He can to keep you from going there. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to bow your knee on this side of death's door. So Herod was given this opportunity to worship the Christ child. Was he going to bow on this side of death's door or not? We see that he doesn't. He decides in his heart that he wants to kill the Christ child and do away with him. How much of the throne do you suppose Herod got to take with him? The Bible says, naked we came into this world, and naked we'll return. I've never preached a funeral yet with a U-Haul attached in the procession. Sometimes we throw things in the casket with the people that are deceased, rings and different knives and different things that they liked. But you know what? The Egyptians found out a long time ago as them British archaeologists come and uncovered them tombs that them things are still there. They did not go with them. You will take nothing with you into heaven except your crown of glory. And that's the things that pass through the fire. That's the things that we do for the Lord on this side. And them are the things that where he says, what you've done unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done unto me. Them are the things that where we give up ourselves, our lives, in order to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Those are the things that pass through the fire. Those are the things that's going to make it with us when we get to heaven. The problem with Christmas is that every individual must make a decision to allow the King on the throne. Everyone. If I could make that for you, I would. I would make it for you right now, but I can't do it. You have to make that decision. You have to decide that I want to let the King of Kings be ruler of my life. I want to ask Him to come in and save me. I want to ask Him to forgive me of my sins. And the Bible says, whoever would pray that prayer and believe in Him, that He was Jesus, the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He was resurrected on the third day, and He's seated at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, and if you would ask Him to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you, the Bible says He will. And you will receive salvation, and you will have eternal life, and you will be bowing your knee on this side of death's door, and you will be living with Him eternally forever. What are you going to do with your throne this Christmas? Are you going to hang on to it? Are you going to stay seated in the chair? Or are you going to step down and let Jesus be the King of Kings? Let's stand and pray as Victoria and Phyllis come. Father God, I thank You that Jesus came. I thank You that He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He was God with us. I thank You for Your plan of salvation that's in Your Word. And Lord, if we would just trust in Jesus and allow Him to have the throne of our lives, He would come in and save us and be our King, that we might live eternally with You forever. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's a person here that doesn't know You, that today would be the day that they would step off of the throne and allow You to be Lord of their life. Lord, I pray this morning that as Christians, if we have somehow taken the throne back, that, Lord, You would prompt us and convict us that we might step aside and allow You to have control. Lord, I pray that during this invitation time, you'd have your will and your way. And we'll just give you all the praise and glory and honor for everything that you have done and are going to do. Lord, we just want to lift you high in this place. We've come here to worship you. And all these things I pray in Christ's name.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe you died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in you alone for my salvation, and I accept your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.